So welcome to our service. It's good to see you all here. And one thing we're going to do this evening is to try and understand what is a good church. Now, I happen to think this is a good church. I had to say that, didn't I? Yeah. But it may not be God's idea of a good church. So as we go into the service, we're going to start looking at some of the churches that God sent messages to, and we're going to see what God thinks is a good church. And then I think we'd probably rather follow God's lead on that one rather than what we think is a good church. So Revelation was written by John the Divine. Not sure which John it was in terms of the previous ones in the versions of the Gospels, but John wrote Revelation from the vision he had on the Isle of Patmos. And Jeff, being good and kind-natured, shows us where Patmos is. You get it there in the middle of the sea, a little island. And these are the seven churches that we're going to be talking about. Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Now, we know, I think it was Tony Blair that introduced it, everything had to be measured. There had to be a score, a target. And if you missed the score, you failed. So everything was reduced to a number. So when I go to go and talk to my bank now, I have a sort code, I have an account number, and I have this thing called a credit score. And the credit score is what the computer uses when I say, can I borrow some money? And it says, yeah, maybe you can't, maybe you can. But we no longer have to justify and talk about what we do. We just say, this is your score. And what I'm trying to do this evening is take God's description of each church, and then we'll see if we can score it. And then we'll see what a good church is and what a not so good church is. And then maybe if we got all excited about it, we could look at our church. But we may not do that. So we start off with Ephesus. Now, Ephesus, I'll just read some of it out, and then you can see how I've put the slides together, or Jeff has. These are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks amongst the seven golden candles, lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you've tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and endured hardship for my name, and have not grown weary. And yet, I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand. But you have this in your favour. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. So the summary statements are hardworking. I picked up not tolerating wicked people. So if you get any wicked people coming in, we shouldn't tolerate them. Okay. Endured hardships. forsaken the love you first had. So those are the four that I picked up from this reading. Now, the worst bit of this church is they've lost their love for God. They've forgotten it. So, if they've lost that, what are they working for? Why are they hard working? If it isn't for God, it must be for themselves. So is this a church perhaps that thinks, well, we know as well as God and we don't need him to the same extent, so we'll just do what we think we should do? And they get it right most times. Except they've forgotten their first love. So that's pretty serious. I wonder what score we give them out of 10. Anybody above 5? Anybody below 5? Right, so we've got one voter in the whole congregation. Shall we try that again? Anyone above 5? Anyone below 5? Now we're getting there. Well, that was my effort. I thought of 4. Because they're doing so much good that if only they refound the love they had for God and did it for him, not for any other reason, then that 4 would shoot up to 10, wouldn't it? But right now, they've lost it. And whilst God's saying, you're doing the good things, you're not tolerating wicked people, you're enduring hardships, but, and it's a very big but, and it brings 10 down to under 5. That's Ephesus, that's one. I think we'll have you away by 7, okay, don't worry. Smyrna. Let's have a look at Smyrna. These are the words of him who is the first and last, who died and came to life again. I know your afflictions, I know your poverty, and yet you are rich. I know about the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown. Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who is victorious will not be hurt at all by the second death. So what did I pick up out of that? I picked up that they were poverty-stricken, and I think we're beginning to learn a little bit about what that means, don't we? They were being slandered. There's nothing quite so undermining as being slandered. They're suffering. So that's the characteristics of Smyrna. Let's have some scores now. Anybody above 5? Yeah, we're all coming that way. Yeah. Anybody way above 5? Yeah, we've got some way above 5. Well, that's where I got to. There wasn't anything at all that was negative about the church in Smyrna. It was a good church. It had a score of 10, even though they were poverty-stricken. Although God said to them, you know, actually, you're rich. Smyrna. So we've had a 4 and we've had a 10. Whilst you're thinking about it, just think about our church. And, you know, we might just sort of say anybody above 5 or below 5 and So, next one I need to is Pergamum. These are the words of him who has sharp double-edged sword. I know where you live, where Satan has his throne, and yet you remain true to my name. You did not renounce your faith in me, not even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was put to death in your city where Satan lives. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. There are some amongst you who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites to sin, so that they ate food sacrificed to idols and committed sexual immorality. Likewise, you also have those who hold to the teachings of the Nicolaitans. Repent, therefore, otherwise I will come to you and I will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give that person a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to the one who receives it. So what did I pick up out of there? Living amongst the heathen, that doesn't mean to say that they were heathen. It said they just happened to live in a place called Pergamum, and it was a place which was renowned for evil. No reflection at all on the church. They were mainly true to God. Some hold the teaching of the heathen. I'll go back on that, and you didn't see it. So, with the other two, God was talking about the whole church, wasn't he? In this one, he was talking about some people in the church. And those some people were actually pulling the church down. He said, you are mainly true to God. You live along the heathen and you're not affected by them, but there are some in your midst who will drag the church down by tolerating and starting to worship some other gods. Now, you saw the score, didn't you? No, you didn't. But I'm going to show you the score and ask you why, in a roundabout way, I chose that score. Because overall, the majority of people there were good people. They follow God, they serve God, they worship God. Why would they get less than 10? Because they weren't taking steps to deal with those who worshipped false gods. And any church that tolerates people going off doing things like these people did need to be either counseled or removed or whatever the appropriate action is. But basically, it was a good church. And all they have to do is get rid of or change the people who worship false gods, and then all of a sudden that score would shoot up to 10. That make sense? I'll try not to get too enthusiastic at showing you the scores next. But we're moving forward to Thyatira. These are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like blazing fire, whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your deeds, your love, your faith, your service, and perseverance, that you are now doing more than you did at first. That's a good sign, isn't it? Nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. I've given her time to repent of her immorality, but she's unwilling. So I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely, unless they repent of her ways. I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches hearts and minds. I will repay each of you according to your deeds. I say to the rest of you, do not hold to her teaching, and have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets. I will not impose any other burden on you, except to hold on to what you have until I come. So this isn't about a few people worshipping false gods from within the church. This is about one woman, Jezebel, who's deliberately trying to undermine the church. The church is faithful. We got that, didn't we? The church is serving. The church is persevering. The church is doing more than it did at the beginning. And that's a real compliment. But the church is tolerating Jezebel the prophet. So what do you do with this? God didn't say he was going to deal with those who worshipped other gods within the church. He wanted the church to deal with that. But in this case, this woman had to be dealt with by God. And he described graphically what was going to happen to her. So how does this church score? Above five? Below five? Even though they're faithful, they're serving, they're persevering and doing more, the only problem they got is they tolerated somebody who's dedicated to undermining them. Are we still okay under five, or do you want to change that? No? Oh, well. Can't get everyone right, can I? See, I assumed that God would deal with this woman and release the church to realize its full potential. And they were so far ahead in their faithful serving, persevering, and the biggest one for me is they were moving forward. They were doing more than they did at the beginning. So I thought an eight, but you didn't. So we move on to Sardis. Sardis, I said, not TARDIS, just in case you were wondering. These are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you're dead. You wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Hold it fast and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I come to you. Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. The one who is victorious will like them be dressed in white. I will never blot out the name of that person from the book of life, but will acknowledge that the name before my Father and his angels, whoever his ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So what did we pick out of that one? They have a reputation for being alive. Have you ever been in a church which is kind of a bit dead, but actually give all the impressions of being alive? I have, and I've seen what happens at the end. The church closes because they've lost sight of God, and they just, it's all smoke and mirrors. They're actually dead, but there is a faithful remnant. And God is saying that faithful remnant will meet up with God and will go to heaven. So you've got a reputation for being alive and you're dead, but there is a faithful remnant. More than five? Less than five. Yeah, quite a lot less than five. A lot less than five? Yeah, a few nods. Well, we've got back to agreeing again, so that's good news. I got that as a two. And now we come to Philadelphia. These are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I've placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, although they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. So, Philadelphia. They're faithful to God. They've kept his commands. They've endured patiently. They've been maligned. Scores over five? Yeah. Lots over five? Yeah. Well, we're still agreeing. I got them as a 10. Now we come to Laodicea. This is in fact the last one. These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither hot, cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say I am rich, I have acquired wealth, I don't need anything. but you do not realize you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold, refined in the fire, so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes, so that you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. Funny one, this, isn't it? They're neither hot nor cold. They don't know what they are. I wonder what it's like when they go to church. They probably sing the blandest hymns, and prayer will be more about how good they are, not about how good God is. So they're just in the middle. They're pleased with themselves. They're self-satisfied. I guarantee their offerings in the churches would be pretty good. Their finances would be okay, and they'd have all the positions filled. But really, they're not seeing reality. They don't see things as God sees them. As I read this, I thought, well, is there hope for these people? I thought, well, there is. All they have to do is make their mind up what they want to be and be it. Scores? Less than five? Lots of less than fives. Lot less than five? Yep, one, two of them. And nobody's going to go above five, are they? Nope. I got to two. So you can see seven churches, all different characteristics, and God sees them very differently as churches. They're not just a bunch of churches. There's this one which has got a problem, and that's dragging them down. This one are doing all the right things, and just keep doing it. So for the seven churches, the first thing we learn is they're all different. They all have different characteristics. They all have different pressures. And I'm sure when they come into their building for worship, their services will be all very different. So we're back to West Camel. I'm not going to make any statements because I'm not qualified to. I'm not going to even try to score. But I think the one thing we should do as we leave here tonight and as we're chatting together, we should just think about, are we doing the things that God is pleased with, or are we doing the things that God is not pleased with? Because the first category will get you up in the rankings, and the second category will get you right down in the dumps. The one thing I will say is I've been around here now for a little while. How long do you reckon, Jeff? 3 years. So long. Feels like about 6 months. But this church is moving forward. It's different now to what it was those years ago. And it's not about numbers. It's about the quality of worship and the willingness for people to take part and all those sorts of things. So I'm not going to even attempt to score anything or make any other comments, but I think if we continue to do what we're doing and keep God firmly in our sights, then when it comes to the scoring system at some point, we'll be way up there with the good ones. Amen.